Thank you, Paul. Let's have a word of prayer, simple prayer. Lord Jesus, we open to you again. We thank you always, always for your prevailing blood, our only merit and our only claim whenever we approach you. Lord, here again, we apply your cleansing blood. Lord Jesus, cover us and sanctify us with your dear blood. We pray, opening to you, waiting on you even for a particular word. You are the source of everything. You have the words of eternal life. Just like the Apostle Peter said, to whom shall we go? We have nowhere that we can go to find and hear such a word of reality, such truths, and such supply. Lord Jesus, thank you for the words of this grace. We're here to receive it, and we're here to digest it, and we're here to obey it, and even to practice it. Lord, may you bless us. Bless us all the dear brothers and sisters who are in this session here. Bless us all with yourself and with your spirit. Amen. Well, we're continuing this perfecting fellowship for the working brothers and sisters, what we, our brotherly call the working saints. And I suppose as long as you are doing a job, you're working, you belong in this category, regardless of your age, whether in your 20s and all the way to your 60s, if you have not yet retired. So that's a 40-year gap, if you will. And clearly, the main group of brothers and sisters in this 40 years, right, a kind of a age bracket, are those who are sort of in the middle. You know, you are in your 30s and in your 40s. but those in the 20s and those in the 50s are very, very important as well. If in a local church, this group of saints would receive grace and respond to the Lord's call in a steadfast way, in a faithful way, then not only the present church life would be strengthened very much, but also we may even say that we would have much greater hope for the church life in the future. In other words, the future of the Lord's recovery would be quite bright. So before this meeting, we were fellowshipping some brothers a little bit that it was exactly 10 years ago, around this time, that I personally was first engaged with Northern California. And that was a Working Saints retreat at Angel's Camp. I remember that quite vividly. Of course, after that, I have been to that camp for a similar kind of retreat a couple of more times. I don't remember. Then one thing led to another, and I got more and more involved with the work and the churches in Northern California. It's 10 years, brothers and sisters. It just a blink of an eye, it just flew by. Those of you who were in those years in your 20s, today you're in your 30s. Those who were in your 30s, today you're in your 40s. Those who were in their 40s then, today you're in your 50s. And so time flies, brothers and sisters. And you see, if we have not chosen to redeem our hours and our days for the Lord's sake, we might just have lost or missed the opportunity in these last 10 years. Now, that is something that each of us have to do some reckoning with the Lord. You know, one of these days, when we meet the Lord at his judgment seat, all the things of our life will be, we have to give an account of all the things in our life as a Christian to the Lord. And this includes how we spend our time. This includes how we live, of course, and how we serve today. And the Lord's words in the New Testament in this regard are abundant in the parables, in so many things. Even this morning, I was just reading in Luke 17, this parable again. You know, the Lord was teaching once again concerning service about this slave who was plowing in the field and tending sheep. You know, of course, this slave is a picture of us and the it says, will you say to the slave when he has come in from the field to immediately recline at the table? That means to eat. The Lord said, will he not rather say to him, prepare something that I may dine, you know, who the master, the owner, say, I need to eat. And gird yourself and serve me until I eat and drink. And after that, you will eat and drink. In other words, after a full day of toil in the fields, after having returned to the house, his job is still not done. You know, this slave, he still have to make food for his master and not start to eat and drink himself. And then it says, he does not thank the slave. The master does not thank the slave. Why? Because he was a slave, and that was his job. That was what he should be doing. No thanking. He only did the things which he was ordered to do. And then finally, the Lord's word to us, so also you, when you do all the things which are ordered you, you say, we are unprofitable slaves. We have not done what we ought to have done. I received this word actually with the help of Brother Lee. Numerous times in some smaller fellowship, he would bring up these verses to us, you know, those who are serving you know, those of us who are learning as his junior co-workers. He said, learn to say, after all that we have done, all that we have done, we should still admit we are unprofitable slaves. And we still have not done what we ought to have done. Do you see the point here? A proper slave, a working slave, the feeling is that he has never finished his job. He's never done. There's still more to do. There's still things that he still have not adequately addressed or taken care of. That's the feeling. And that's, I received that word, this word here, with the help of Brother Lee's, his own experience and his admonition to us as his younger learners. And what this implies, dear brothers and sisters, is that sense of unfinished tasks. And you even would say that great sense of a debt not yet paid. A debt not yet paid. Of course, this slave here is not paying a debt. He is owned outright by the master, and he is just doing his duty. The master could treat him whatever way he wanted to and would use him in whatever way he wanted to. So, but I'm talking about the sentiment, the feeling is no matter what we have done for the master, the sense is I am still unprofitable. I still have not done adequately. Do you touch the feeling here, brothers and sisters? Do you feel this? In Matthew 25, the other more famous parable about the three slaves, right? And the last one was the one who had received the one talent, and he buried it, right, and did not put it to use. And the Lord said, get him out of my sight. Get him out of here. He said, and put him in some place, in the darkness, where there will be the gnashing of teeth, in a place of punishment. And there it says, he said, take away this useless slave. Useless slave. My goodness, that is a very, very serious word. That one day the Lord would say to some of us, remove this useless slave from my sight. And whatever he has, take it from him and give it to the one who has and who has invested for return, for profit for me. So this morning as I was praying this and I was telling myself, Lord, spare me, please, from being a useless slave. I would choose to be rather an unprofitable one. The one who is still serving after many years. I'm still serving after many difficulties. I'm still serving after, even as my energy wanes and my time diminishes, I still have a debt to pay. I still have to do what was ordered for me to do. I'm unprofitable, but I'm not useless. I refuse to be useless. I refuse to be a castaway by the master. I hope that just this little word transmits a kind of feeling to us all. Well, this morning we have two sessions, and I will end this one by 11 o'clock, and we'll have a break of 10 minutes, then we will have our second session. And in this session, I want to help us all to, in this matter of our consecration to the Lord, because everything starts there. Everything starts there. And so last night I was moved again by these some hymns written by as Paul had mentioned, this lady, this famous hymnist or writer of hymns in England back in the 1800s. This is Frances Havergal, a sister. And in her life, he had written hundreds of hymns. And some hymns have become most famous and popular and oft-sung by Christians, especially by those who are seeking. And one is the one that we just sang. Very actually, if there will be two most famous hymns by this lady, this sister, this would be the first one, 436. Very famous. Thy life was given for me, thy blood, O Lord, was shed. And the refrain at the end of this stanza is repeated with different words in the following stanzas, altogether six stanzas. And that is the singer would have this, would say this, thy life was given for me, what have I given for thee? Every stanza ends with a question. What have I done? You have given everything. You poured out your life. You shed your blood. And the life is in the blood to ransom me, to redeem me, to quicken me from the dead. You gave everything. What have I given for you? A similar kind of a word in this sentiment, we were told, was what moved Count Zinzendorf as a young man to consecrate his life to Christ. Zinzendorf, you know, of Moravian Brethren fame. In verse 2, this is always talking about the Lord first. Long years were spent for me in weariness and woe, that through eternity thy glory I might know. Then this consideration, long years were spent for me, have I spent one for thee? The Lord gave every year of his life, spent every year of his life for us in weariness and woe. Have I spent one for thee? It's a good question. Have you, brothers and sisters? How much have you spent for him? And then verse 3, the Father's home of light, the rainbow circle throne, were left for earthly night, for wandering set and lone. This is the Lord, the man of sorrows. Yea, all was left for me. The Lord left everything for us. There's not one good thing that he has kept and not given to us. Have I left aught for thee? Aught, an old English word that means anything. Have I left anything for you? You have left everything for me. What have I left for you? Verse 4, thou, Lord, hast borne for me more than my tongue can tell, a bitterest agony to rescue me from hell. Surely this refers to the Lord's crucifixion, his death on the cross. Thou sufferest all for me, what have I borne for thee? Have we suffered for the Lord? How much have we suffered for the Lord? Just read Brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, his epistles of his the sufferings that he went through, not suffering for redemption, obviously, but suffering for the Gospels, the suffering to complete the Word of God, the suffering even eventually to fill up what is lacking for the building up of the Lord's, of Christ's body. Number 5, and thou hast brought to me down from thy home above salvation full and free, thy pardon and thy love. All these wonderful things from this wonderful Christ, this wonderful Savior of ours. Great gifts thou broughtest me. What have I brought to thee? Number 6, oh, let my life be given. This is the conclusion. My years for thee be spent. World fetters all be riven, and joy with suffering blend, the blending of joy and sorrow. Thou gavest thyself for me, I give myself to thee. So that's the answer. That is the conclusion. Since you have gave yourself and so many things to me, the very least we can do is to give ourselves to him. This hymn I learned in my youth, after I was saved in junior high or something like this. And, you know, songs that you learn in those years, you can never forget. And it comes back again and again and again to inspire, to move me to live a life of consecration, right? So I hope that you would all not just, you know, sing this hymn, you will pray to the Lord and consecrate yourself to the Lord with this hymn. I'll say something about 445 that we will sing in the second session. The other famous hymn of Sister Halbergall, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, right? So we'll talk about that. For some of you, you know, the other hymns that is famous with the sister, one is I love my master, I will not go out free, you know, that song. You should sing that one. Very, very inspiring. And then there are many others, but another one that comes to mind is like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Yeah, very, very famous Christian hymn, also by this dear sister. this hymn that I just talked about was a time when she herself, in her latter years, you know, she lived only 42 years. on this earth. And he died 1874. A few years before that, she had another spiritual crisis. And that is, she realized that she still have not surrendered all to the Lord. And either this 436 or 445 was written as a result. I don't remember which one, but you can go and find out. Let me see here. Yeah, you can find out. I think it is 445. We will sing that hymn. Now, dear saints, with the remaining 30 minutes, I just have a burden today to the working saints that we would renew in these days. Actually, we should do this all the time. But in these days, to renew our commitment, our former commitment to the Lord. I know that most of us, if not all of us, have in the past, somewhere along the line, in God's visitation of us, in the Lord's constraining us with his love, in the active working of the dear Spirit of God in us, to prompt and to draw us. We all made commitments to the Lord, what we call consecration. You know, consecration is a kind of a handing over of ourselves to God. It implies or includes our being separated unto him. We were like an oxen, for example, in the field, doing its work, you know, plowing the land or whatever it is. Then one day, this oxen is selected, removed from the herd, and taken to the tabernacle. And from then on, it has a different purpose. While its purpose before was to do what all the other oxen were doing, just to plow the field to serve an earthly purpose, from then on, it has a divine purpose, and that is, it is now good for just being killed and prepared and offered to God at the altar of the burnt offering, to become a sweet-smelling savor for God's enjoyment and for God's satisfaction. And what will be left of that is just a pile of ashes. That's it. That's it. It is of no use to the earth, to the world. It is not good for doing anything worldly or earthly. It is just dedicated for God's need, for his pleasure. And so, at moments and times, we were moved and touched to do this. The worldly people would never do this. And even believers who are heartless and who have who are marginal and they don't care for this. But those of us who have been called, those of us who have been chosen, those of us who have been attracted by the Lord's beauty, those of us who have been drawn by the His cords of love, the bands of love in the cords of the man, we responded and we gave ourselves to the Lord for His purpose to meet His need. Well, dear brothers and sisters, those commitments, as sincere as they were and as genuine as they were, requires repetition and remake. Just one-time consecration, it is necessary, but it is hardly enough. It is like making a marriage vow, right? When you get married, first get married, you make a marriage vow. But if that vow is not repeated, affirmed, remade over time, there's a way for that vow to lose its power, to lose its energy, to lose its strength. And so the two persons who are married actually needs to make a new vow regularly, constantly, daily, for that relationship, marital relationship, to remain fresh, to remain strong. And so it all starts here. Our burden for the working saints is stronger than ever. And the Lord's need today is greater than 10 years ago, greater than ever before, in so many ways. And what the Lord has done in the Bay Area churches, I think, is a proof of that. A proof of that. So, for the sake of God's need in His economy, in His recovery today, I plead with you all, the younger ones, the middle-aged ones, in this category of the so-called the working saints, that you would reconsecrate yourself, you would rededicate yourself, you would re-separate yourself to this purpose, to this need of God today. What the Lord has done, in spite of our lack of faith and faithfulness, His work, continued work of grace in us, had not stopped. You go back and look at the last 10 years, and I think we can all count the blessings of the Lord. The faithfulness of the Lord. And in time, in place, in our circumstances, in our what we went through, in so many different aspects of our life, and even corporately, brothers and sisters, in the church life, and in so many areas, the Lord has done too much of his work in grace. So today we're facing yet another 10 years. And I am really, really being honest and being sincere here to tell you, brothers and sisters, today that need of the Lord is greater than ever. Needless to say, the Lord's return and coming is closer than ever. And the need of the world of sinners for the gospel and salvation, it is greater than ever. And so, in the past, you may say, well, there's just not that many opportunities, not that much to do. I don't know. But I will tell you today, 10 years later, brothers and sisters, there are many more opportunities that have opened up in the Lord's recovery and in the church life that is not being taken, that is not being used or taken advantage of. Brothers and sisters, the lift up your eyes, as the Lord said, and you will see white fields. You will see needs everywhere, outside the church life, inside the church life. I'm just short of words here. What today there's jobs everywhere, you know, if I can say that. The openings everywhere. There's needs everywhere. The opportunities abounding for all of us to serve the Lord, to be engaged in the church life, to preach the gospel, to shepherd the believers, to serve in all kinds of situations, in homes, in our home meetings, in the church meetings. And some churches have districts and they are growing and expanding. The need is all over. But brothers and sisters, if we are not consecrated, if we are not given to the Lord, if we don't have the feeling of these slaves that I just talked about, then I will tell you these opportunities will, these unlimited opportunities will be missed. And there will still be a scarcity, a lack of serving ones among us. Dear brothers and sisters, I am making the call again. I'm making a sincere call again to all of us to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. to serve him. I don't want to blink my eye and I'm 80 years old, okay? Another 10 years. It's that fast. Dear ones, now is the time. Now is the time. I have heard some brothers in the past, more than one, actually many, who have the thought that today I'm going to make money, I'm going to do something so that I can be financially secured, I can be financially stable, so that when I get old, I can serve the Lord, when I retire, I don't need to depend on the church. I'll save the church some money, you know. Well, that intention is quite noble, and that thought was somewhat logical, I suppose. But I'm concerned that you will wake up one day when you're 65 or six, whatever, you're retiring and you have, you know, you would have lost your prime years. You have missed your golden days. You won't have as the kind of energy to what? To serve the Lord as you ought. I'm not here saying something concerning the older saints that they are useless. Please do not take it that way. I'm speaking to those saints who are still today, they're younger or they're in their middle age. This is the time, brothers and sisters, to serve. Now we're going to talk about in the next session how we need to just live a normal life, a proper normal life, to serve the Lord. But first thing first, the heart has to be there. This kind of perspective of our life has to be there. I am 70 plus years old. And so I have earned, you know, the privilege to, you know, look back on my rear view mirror and reassess my life, how I spent it, how I used it. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, these are moments either you would be filled with regret and sadness, or you would be filled with gratitude and joy. It depends. It really depends. I don't want to regret. Do what I have still some regret? I do. Because I have not been faithful all the time. But to a great extent, I like to testify that the path that I chose, and that is the path of serving the Lord, I am just full of thanks to Him, to the Lord, for preserving me, for not letting me go, for directing my life in this way, for drawing me to live a life like that, to live this kind of a life. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm not saying we should all drop our jobs and we should all serve full-time in that kind of a way. That will surely happen in the coming age in the kingdom. But today, I am saying that in our heart, in our feeling, in our sense of identity, we are full-timers. We're all saved ones. We're all redeemed ones. And we should be those who would present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to the Lord. This is what we should be doing today. And so this is my somewhat simple word in this regard. Dear saints, let's live a life in glory. Let's live a glorious life today. And there's nothing more glorious than to live a life holy, abandoned to Christ. That FTTA song, what, 433 or something? You know that one? Well, what is the first line? Please help me. No mortal tongue. Right? Is that the one?
Yes, 473.
473. No mortal tongue. What does it say? Help me, please. No mortal tongue can describe the freedom of the soul, the utter sense of liberation and freedom when passed beyond all earthly bribed. The earth is constantly seducing us and bribing us with a check that will bounce, okay? Trust me, whatever check the world gives to you will bounce. You will not be able to cash it. It's a mirage. It's a dream. It's a cheating. To God's complete control, when your life and mine are completely in the hands of God, there's no cheating there. I tell you, all things are His, are ours. All things are ours. Life, death, and things present all to come. There's no blank check here. Everything is backed by the heavenly bank, by God Himself. And in Christ, He draws in peace each breath. In Christ, He finds His home. Francis, what is better than a life like this? I'm not talking about being irresponsible and not taking care of your marriage and your family and your children and your job. And I'm not talking about that. We'll address that in the next session. I'm talking about being freed. I'm talking about living in Christ. I'm talking about living for God. What can be more glorious than this? A sane person, Christian, would not choose anything less. When such as we, the king can choose, we've been chosen by the king to share with him his throne. Are these talking talks? Are these fairy tales? Are these real? 'Tis passing strange that we refuse. A strange thing. It is a nonsensical thing. It is an intelligent thing that we refuse to be our Lord's alone. Never speak of sacrifice. It is a sacrifice, in a sense, a living sacrifice that we are to become. But we don't speak of sacrifice when we consider the whole picture, a privilege rather untold, a privilege, a joy. It is to be at any price in Calvary's host and road, any price I would pay to have this untold privilege of serving him. So arise, brothers and sisters, the holy bargain strike, the fragment for the whole, wonderful hymn. I put out some fragment and again back the whole. I just give up a little bit of my life that used to be nothing. And I will gain the whole. All men in all events alike must serve the ransomed soul. Dear saints, everything in our lives that happens, everything that surrounds us, peoples, things, events, is here to serve us if we're here to serve Christ. All things are yours when you are his and he and you are one. A boundless, I love this, a boundless, this is the sense of freedom. Boundless life in him there is when doubt and fear are gone. All right, I think this is quite good enough. Maybe we can have a break here now.